Hi, this is Georgie.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Thursday night. It's June the 1st. I'm basically on summer vacation now, so I'm going to alternate between sounding very excited and very tired as I realize I have like 2 months off in front of me. And this is the Unused Substitutes, your weekly dose of the Green and Gold Gospel Power Hour. We're normally on Wednesday nights. We were not on last night because the Rowdies were participating in a game. That unfortunately we're going to rehash because it didn't turn out so well. But before we get started, I want to throw a quick little shout out to, I got to do my, play that, extended, little intro part that I did. And Daniel is back. So, hi Dan.
Hi, I think we're going to need a power hour tonight.
I'm glad you have internet again and you're not at the airport like you were last night.
So quick aside about that is, while I was trying to figure out why my internet wasn't working, I got a text from Daisha. Oh, crap. The internet payment is late. I forgot to pay it before I left.
Well, that'll do it. That's still the second weirdest one, I think. Not that that was particularly weird. That just happens sometimes. My parents called me one time and they were in that whole old people throw the computer out the window frame of mind. And it was because one of their cats had chewed through one of their wires in the back of the modem, but not enough to where they could notice it. They actually had to like have someone come out to the house. And first thing you do, having been a former IT person myself, is you check the wires and then you try turning things off and on. So there it was. But everything's working again on your end, which is nice, and on my end. So I can refrain from saying that the show is occasionally brought to you by Frontier Communications.
Yeah.
Except when it freezes up. And it's also brought to you by our good friends at the Beautiful Game Network. Check them out online, BGNFM, or on Twitter at the BGNFM. Several other USL-related soccer podcasts and other podcasts in general are on there as well. So we're going to start off with our kind of typical fare. There were two games since last time we broadcast and didn't record, which is why nothing went out on podcast, because that was the night where your internet wasn't working, and realized it about 5 minutes before the showtime that I was going to have to do everything solo, and I hit broadcast, but I forgot to hit record. I'm not going to rehash that one because we got enough of rehashing we're going to do tonight, to the point where people might want to invest in hash. I don't know. But the first game last weekend, last Saturday at Al Lang, the Rowdies won and St. Louis FC won. Unfortunately, neither of us were at the game. I was home, not feeling well. You were, at a friend's birthday, festivities. So we don't really have like the in-person view of it. I did get to watch it on TV. St. Louis went up early. I mean, we've been on a string now. What is it? Rochester. Well, it started with Toronto, then Rochester, then St. Louis. Going down early, and having varying levels of success coming back and getting a draw or one time a win and one time a loss. That's a streak we need to get out of, first of all. So if I'm going to say bad, it's going down early again, especially this time at home. It's one of those, I don't know, do you ever get this feeling, like, especially if you're watching on TV more than I think in the stadium, but you're watching the game and they're setting up for a free kick and you just know the other team's going to score?
Yeah.
That's what happened. I'm watching it on TV and I'm just like, I got a bad feeling about this. And then Pickens is frozen on his line. St. Louis scores. And then Scottish Superman Neil Collins rescues it late. I want to say, what, like 75th, somewhere in there, with a header off a corner kick. So both game where both goals came from set pieces. So good. Thanks, Neil, for saving the bacon. Bad. I hate going down early. And I think we all know what the ugly is going to be.
Huh.
What was it? Eight yellows? Ten? Something like that?
Yeah, the officiating was, I mean, we haven't been able to do this all year, but the officiating was hot garbage.
Yeah, let's, you know, mark your calendars, mark your unsubs bingo card, whatever it is you have. June 1st, 2017, we griped about the refereeing, I think, for the first time this season. It was terrible. And I even, some of the St. Louis fans we were talking to that said, you know, when you see a yellow in the first 5 minutes, like, what was it? I think Leo Fernandez got it.
Yeah.
You know you're in for an interesting evening. And, yeah. And it's not to say that, you know, maybe some of the calls weren't, you know, whistleable or the fouls weren't fallible. But just threw so many out there. And Stu mentioned it after the game. You know, he said he didn't think he saw a bad tackle from either side. But that many whistles, that many cards, just breaks up the flow of the game. I mean, you had a pretty good back and forth going on between Leo Fernandez and Wesley Charpy. Both of them got yellows. Leo nutmegged him a couple times. But it's one of those ones where you get to that point, both players have a yellow, and then now it's going to be a little bit cautious for the rest of the game. It totally alters, I think, the way you play as a player. And it has impacts, as we find out this weekend, on this weekend's game, because we're going to have, what, Darnell's out for – is Damian out for this one too, or is Damian out for the last one? He was out for the last one.
Yeah, he was out for the last one, I believe.
And then Darnell's out for this one.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, about how we're going to tinker with this lineup. Any other good, bad, ugly?
Like I said, I didn't really get a chance to watch, but officiating was crap. Neil Collins is the man. The
Scottish Superman.
I love it. Finally – and I am upset with him because I've been begging for a goal while I've been at every time I go to Al Lang, and then the one time I'm not at Al Lang for a home game, he scores.
Stat of the match?
Stat of the match. Neil Collins scoring a goal.
Okay. Man of the match?
Neil Collins scored a goal.
I'll say that one too. The next game was the Rowdies' second competition, or second participation, second time participating in the Open Cup this year, which was last night down at the Silva Dome, as I'm going to refer to it until someone laughs at it on purpose. Miami FC 2, Rowdy 0.
Again, I couldn't see that one because I had to go pick up a certain annoying roommate from the airport right in the middle of the game. Like, I got home. right when pretty
honestly
much...
it's not a terrible thing, probably, looking back at it.
Yeah, I'm not missing any more games this year. I think she's done traveling, and I will no longer pick her up during Rowdy's games.
Yeah. Oasis once said, don't look back in anger, but I really can't help it kind of after this week. Go ahead.
I personally give zero F's about the Open Cup. And I know I'm in a minority. I know people like Rouse Mob President Stephen Cundiff live and die by the Open Cup. It's not my thing. Like, I can't get behind it. I don't know if it's why. I don't know. It's just, to me, like, what is it called now over in, I don't even know.
The Coca-Cola Cup or something? Or?
Yeah, like the crappy one. Not the FA Cup, which is kind of okay. But, like, even then, I don't care.
The League Cup, a.k.a. the last cup, the Liverpool one.
Yeah.
You're just mad because you were bleeding when that happened.
Well, I'm just always mad these days.
That's what it is. That's what's turned you off against the cups.
Yeah, I get punched in the face. I don't need that again.
the second ever day that I knew you.
Yeah.
The first being the day before. Yeah. First goal goes to Miami on a penalty.
Good game, Georgie.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that it wasn't a foul, it wasn't something that should be called, and we're all biased with our green and gold glasses, but I'm not surprised by it. And then they follow up a few minutes later with a shot that Akira Fitzgerald actually stops, gets to, but then it gets loose from him and trickles across the line. I don't even think it actually reached the back of the net. It rolled and just kind of stopped middle of the goal, and that was it.
Good thing we started the better keeper.
You had to throw that in there, didn't you?
Oh, I'm feeling sassy tonight.
Would you like some salt with that?
Yeah, call me Salt Bay.
Are you going to do the Salt Bay over here? I mean, I like the idea of the Open Cup. It's kind of weird this season, at least, because like we played Miami, who was a team we've played before, they were in the league with before.
And that's like the regional thing is why I don't like it. Like, are we going to constantly see Jacksonville?
You do get the same matchups, which I know is a beneficial thing for like the PDL and the amateur teams because of travel costs. But
then fly us there. You know what I mean? Like, fly the higher division team to the lower division team and make it work. Like, I mean, MLS, because then you'll probably get more people in the stands and come. Like,
right.
So the lower division team should have the home game.
Or at least the right of first choice. Because I know some of them probably might have issues with their wherever they play, you know, availability and stuff like that or cost or whatever. But, yeah, that would be kind of cool. I mean, we've seen, you know what, like 8-10 people from the Mob went down last night. It's a cool thing to do. It would have been cool if we could have won this one and gone on to the MLS round. At the same time, at the stretch of games that we're in right now, I don't mind not having another Wednesday game, especially one that throws us off our broadcasting schedule. I know a lot of people wanted to go. They were looking forward to the trip. I was going to try and go myself, but like the league is always going to be, for me, the number one priority. And then it would be, you know, like if we had a Coastal Cup kind of thing like we did with NASL, like that would be the second thing. And then Open Cup is the third thing. And just because I like to get to see some of the teams from other leagues and get some of these matchups you don't usually have. But, yeah, you're getting the same ones over and over with this new system. But I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Me neither. I mean, the lower league landscape's too unstable to ask those costs, even at the NASL level. But league first to me. It sucks. I would like to. There's some good points about how people would be, how it would spotlight this Orlando City Tampa Bay Rowdies rivalry, which might have helped the MLS. I don't know how. I don't think it would have had any like.
I think the people who need to know are already aware of that situation.
Right. I don't think that it would have brought any like push behind MLS to St. Pete. But yeah, it would have been nice to showcase that rivalry on full terms. I don't care. We've played so many games in such a short amount of time. These guys and travel all over. Like, that's the other thing. It's not like England where you can play this run of games because it's a bus ride from the stadium to stadium. It's good. Let these guys chill for a bit. Give them some rest and come out and just take the top spot in the league.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a game Sunday, and then actually almost an entire week of rest before the next game. And then like a week after that, I get actually going to kind of get back to normal here. I will say this: I was thinking about this the other day. Last night when I got home, I was seeing it on Twitter. It was like the Channel 8 sports reporter, like, you know, they've kind of expanded their Rowdies coverage this year, like tweets out, well, you know, that's the end of the Rowdies run in the Open Cup this year. And it was like, when would you have seen Channel 8 talking about the Open Cup before? So,
yeah,
it's still like third on my list of things I'm fired up about. Like, it's kind of cool to see the awareness of the whole competition progressing a little bit. We're going to come back to some things from this game in a little while. Do we even want to try doing a man of the match, stat of the match with this one?
No, we don't even have
stats, I don't think. Moving on, other results from last week and then games in the Eastern Conference this weekend. Ottawa scored 5 goals against Richmond. I don't think I've seen Ottawa score 5 goals in every game combined that the Rowdies have played against them, or, you know, most of their league games. So that's pretty impressive. Cincinnati 1-0 over Toronto. OCB lost at home 1-3 to Charlotte, who we're going to face this weekend away, and we'll talk about them in a few minutes. New York Red Bull 2 wins 2-1 over Charleston. Bethlehem Steel 3-1 over Harrisburg. Tomorrow, St. Louis hosts Toronto. Saturday, Rochester versus Cincinnati. Charleston hosts Louisville. Pittsburgh hosts Orlando. Richmond and the Baby Red Bulls. And then Sunday is Bethlehem Steel and Ottawa, and then us versus Charleston. So depending on the outcome of that Charleston-Louisville game, we could have a chance of taking over the top spot again on Sunday. At least we'll know what we have to do. Charleston was nice enough to come from ahead to lose to Red Bull 2 last weekend, which kept us within 2 points of them after picking up the draw last weekend. So it'd be nice if we can get going, because some of these teams, like Louisville, is behind us in third, and they're 6 points back, but they've played 4 less games. So we've got to start getting some W's to keep this gap up before they start cashing in their games in hand. But our current playoff standings: Charleston right now is first in the Eastern Conference, 23 points. Rowdies with 21. Louisville, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh with 15, separated by goal difference. Red Bull 2 with 14. Bethlehem and Ottawa with 12. And I want to say right below them is Rochester and someone else also with 12. And then Charlotte,
It's Rochester, Orlando City B, and St. Louis all have 12 points.
And then Charlotte's right behind them with 11. So this is a big game for Charlotte this weekend, too, because they could, in theory, hop into the top half of the table with a win, probably not with a draw because of goal differential. So this is the first time we've played Charlotte this year. So I did a little research on them this week. Third year in existence. Last year they went 14-8-8, good enough for fifth in the Eastern Conference. Lost in the quarterfinals away to Rochester. Currently, they're 3-2-2 out of their 7 games with 11 points. All 3 wins have come in their last 5 games, but it's really not necessarily the perfect snapshot of their form because they've only played 7 to begin with. They do have several local connections. We're going to see some familiar faces this weekend. Cody Mizell, former Rowdies goalkeeper, is their starting goalkeeper. Casey Townsend, remember the janitor?
The janitor
is up front for them, and also up front for them was a guy we had here in the preseason, trialist, who you and me liked a lot, Jamie Siage.
He
made his debut with his pro debut in their home opener, scored twice, I think. A couple of players keep an eye on. One of their defenders, Henry Kalungi, is the captain of the Ugandan national team. They've got a pretty diverse squad. They've got guys from Uganda. They've got guys from England, guys from Ivory Coast. So they've got a good little mix of a squad, too. And also, my other player to watch for this one is midfielder Enzo Martinez. Had a brace, I want to say, in their first Open Cup game, is up there in the conference stat table with assists. He's got 2 on the season so far. And then looking through the head-to-head matchup, the one stat that jumped out at me, Charlotte has kept 0 clean sheets this year. Good.
Oh, so they will against us.
Yeah. Well, and they've also, their goalkeeping hasn't been stellar. But part of it's going to be on their defense, who has allowed 29 shots in 7 games. The Rowdies have faced 28 shots in 12 games. So the back line is going to be key for us to look to that to be a strength again. And also their back line is going to be, you know, hopefully what we're going to be able to exploit, which brings us back to Darnell King being suspended. What's our back line look like this weekend, in your opinion?
I think you just throw Kyle Porter out there. I mean, he's played well in his, you get Damian back. Left back is kind of an issue.
We haven't talked about this on air, at least.
No, you're right. And, Luke Bowden, I think, belongs in that spot. I don't think you keep moving Schaefer from midfield to left to midfield to left. I think Schaefer belongs in that midfield in that double pivot role. Since I assume that's where we're going to stay with the, you know, with this 4-2-3-1 thing that we're doing. And I would keep Schaefer and Vingard there and let it. It worked. I mean, it worked for a while. And Luke Bowden, Luke Bowden, Neil Collins, Damian Lowe, and Kyle Porter. is my back line to answer your question. The rest of this, we'll talk in a bit.
Yeah, I guess it kind of fits in with the other part, too. All right. We're kind of like flying through things here so far.
Don't worry. We won't be shortly.
We're going to get bogged down. We're going to fill the swamp and stand in the middle of it. With the next couple parts. First of all, so I mentioned this a little bit last week. It was kind of big on, like, did you see how far, like, this whole story spread? Like, I don't think it made it into the paper, but the New York Times soccer reporter was tweeting about it online as well.
Really?
Yeah. It got, because he picked it up from, I think it went through him, like, to Eve's Gallerstep after at some point, and it just kind of kept going up one level. And I mentioned it a little bit last week, and it's been quiet kind of ever since then, but, you weren't able to be here last week, and I knew you were going to have some thoughts on the situation because they're friends of the program. But our buddies, back in Cosmos Country with, This Is Cosmos Country podcast, are no more, which is crap.
It's just BS because, especially on the NASL level. And we even got a late start their Do Nord podcast was like one of the NASL originals.
Right.
But, and then it kind of blossomed.
Tailgate show from Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. The tailgate show. And then we joined in and then it seemed to explode. I don't know if it's cause we were paying attention or what, but the scene exploded and they were, they're great guys up there and they put in a lot of work and quality work. A lot of time and the community, like this community is sprouted up of us, like, idiots that sit around and talk soccer all day into microphones on the internet. I love them all. Like, and losing them in over like whatever happened is just absurd. And you don't want to see that ever. These people love the team and they love the game. And, now what? Like, what do you do? Like, today was one of those days, but like I don't think I could go back to being a regular fan.
No, I don't think so either. Part of it is for the longest time it was them and like Empire Soccer were the only two. Like it was Dave Martinez and Jake, and then Cosmos Country were kind of the only ones, and they've got some other podcasts there. They're doing some of the same work. And now they've just kind of been bullied out of existence from someone that everyone thought was going to be, this great benefit to the league, and now he's actually, out there deliberately crapping on some of their biggest fans who have done more work than a lot of the local media in the so-called media capital of the world, covering their local team.
Yeah, like, and it's like they're not getting paid. We're not journalists. Like, we're not professional journalists. Nobody's paying anybody to do this.
We can't even do a show on the same night every week.
Yeah, I mean, and just to have the team get upset, like the owner get upset about like comments or commentary of a couple of fans. Look, just because it was on the internet doesn't mean these conversations aren't happening amongst your fan base anyway. Like,
exactly.
You can't like quell dissent over what everybody pretty much deemed a idiotic mid-season trip across the globe.
Yeah, especially, you know, they had a league game scheduled, and I think with Edmonton, and then that gets pushed back and delayed, or, you know, rescheduled. And it's, you know, what's more important to you? I mean, and I don't want to spend much time talking about their reasons for going on taking the friendly, other than I suspect they got paid a significant sum of money and free transportation and lodging and everything. You know,
72 virgins.
It's almost like they traded a player in exchange for hotel rooms or something.
Oh, I mean, it's just, I can't imagine. I mean, I know we probably get a lot of flack for not being hard enough on the team, but Jake has published some unflattering, like has written and put out some unflattering things in reference to our owner, and none of us have ever heard anything like "take it down, this is crap, blah 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 blah, you're not trespassing, blah 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 blah."
Yeah,
I mean, we like to think we have a good relationship with the club. I mean, they did too. They had a great relationship under the last regime there. But I would like to think that, you know, we have that freedom. I mean, if we ever did go overboard and we're just spreading out like outright lies, I would expect it. But if we're talking, if we're speaking our opinion, I don't think this team would ever try to shut us down. No matter what you think of Edwards.
You mean if we started mentioning the whole thing about how the Rowdies have a pizza restaurant with an unsavory reputation?
Is that what happened to the Rowdies Den?
Rowdies Den Gate.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to kind of do a little tribute to them.
I wish now would be the Cosmos Country Nick montage if I was ever talented enough to create it. Tamper.
Well, I was going to say, you might be the only one who can pull off some of the accents. Cause,
yeah. Get me drunk enough and then New York will come out.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully. I don't know. But that situation is garbage. And we threw that in there, not just because we like those guys a lot. Like we do. We hate their team. I mean, don't get us wrong. We hate the Cosmos. But, like, those guys are genuinely our friends.
But Juan is there now. There's so much mixed feelings. Anyway, F the Cosmos. We love you. We love them.
Yeah.
Cosmos Country, not Cosmos.
Darwin sliding through, scoring a goal on you, image .jpg. And, you know, it's kind of a not necessarily 100% coincidental, but we're going to take on one of the topics. It's been, trying to find the right way to describe it. Last night was not the first time I've seen this. I'll say that. But it's become more vocal, and it's the point you can't ignore it. It's a lot of the people that we know and a lot of people just in general have started discussing this. I mean, the recent run of form going back to, I'd say even starting with the Toronto game where we go down one goal early in the first half, results have been less than stellar. And yeah, we're still sitting in second place. We're still, you know, 2 points behind first place. We've played several more games than, I mean, we've played most games of anybody in the conference by at least one, by five in some cases. But a lot of people have been unhappy with the results, and not necessarily the results, I'll say, because that's not even the part that gets to me, but it's just some of the same things that I'm seeing over and over. But we're starting to see, and if you're listening to this, you surely have as well, some questions on Facebook, Twitter, places like that.
Reddit.
I haven't gone there in a couple days.
You're not missing anything. It's actually not that bad on this thread.
On the Reddit one?
Yeah.
But basically it comes down to, is Stu Campbell on the hot seat? Should he be on the hot seat or should he be gone?
Okay. I'm going to first say, get the should he be gone off the dang table. If you're, I might take some heat, but if you're telling me that Stuart Campbell should be fired, why we have a 6-3-3 record sitting second place in the Eastern Conference, you can no longer say, why the hell did Bill Edwards fire Thomas Rongen when we were in a playoff spot? Because that's what you're doing. You are right there. So fire Stu off the table. Maybe his seat should be like, while I'm on that, first of all, it looks like outside of 2015, this is our best start at a 6-3-3. 2015, that's 6 wins, 3 losses, 3 draws. 2015, we had 6 wins, 2 losses, 4 draws. But here's the thing. we have a plus eight goal differential. Oh, well, we played Toronto too. They were crap. Okay, so take that for, so we still have a plus four, which is our best goal differential in modern Rowdy's history since the 2010 season, which we also had a plus four, which our record was a little, it was 5-4-3 back then. I mean, 2012 was our championship year. Mm-hmm. We were 4-5-3 with a negative three goal differential. So we're scoring goals. We're creating chances. Like,
right.
I know people are getting on Stewart because it feels like we're not and we're losing, but we have a plus eight goal differential. Like, again, we have scored multiple goals in a lot, in a few games. Like, it's there. I mean, it's not, it might seem boring because there is a lot of back and forth. You're tiring out these guys. You strike late, you keep it. And it does, and I will agree that it does feel at times that there's a lot of possession without purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, Stuart Campbell is not the greatest manager to manage. We've talked about the lack of substitutes.
Or the lateness of them.
Yeah, like he just hates substitutes. I mean, even the unused ones like us. but, you know, and then the lack of in-game adjustments.
Right.
You know, when things don't seem to be working on some of these losses or these draws, and he keeps trying to, he'll do a like for like sub a little too late when he doesn't change shape or anything like that until it feels too late. You know, or trying to, or the, okay. And the one of the biggest ones that I keep seeing is he plays people out of position. The only person I recall off the top of my head being played out of position right now is Georgie on the wing. And I agree that that experiment needs to end.
This is where you want to go back to Schaefer at left back?
Yes. And Schaefer, you know, well, it's the whole broad thing. If we're talking about Stewart's faults here, is he tinkers a little too much after a draw or a loss, or didn't, and he can't man manage. And you and I were talking about this privately about, with like Luke Bowden, you said he's been shaky since he quote unquote got sick and we didn't see him for three games. But it feels like you make one mistake, you get benched, and mm-hmm. Stewart is expecting some kind of perfection. It's that lack of man management. These guys now, you know, like Bowden might be slightly out of form, and then they're trying to play perfectly, and they're in their heads. They're not playing. They're not, you know, they're thinking too much about what they're doing. So they're getting spun around doing this. So maybe a little better man management there, maybe be a bit more flexible, maybe switch to a 4-4-2 and see what goes, because I get it, you want to play DeShorn and you want to play Georgie, but right. Playing Georgie out of position, you should be playing your best player in their best position and not going, well, we'll take a talent hit by moving him over here. That's the worst thing you can do. And it's just I can understand not being pleased with, you know, the Open Cup and maybe a couple of results during the stretch, but a Stuart Campbell's in his second year of being a manager. Second year of being a manager. Not like here, just second year of being a manager. Like, he didn't get to start out at Rowdy's, you know, the U23 and work his way up or anything. It's second. He was kind of thrown into it through the Rangan debacle. But there's no way there should be talk about firing this guy yet. I'm not saying at all, ever. He's not untouchable, nor should he be. But I think at 6-3-3 with a plus eight goal differential, like, we even have a win on the road.
On turf, where we came from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, it feels crappy because it just, you know, okay, and I know politics is the wrong thing to go to here, but it just feels like real life right now, where you're just getting punched everywhere from, because the news is coming at you hard and fast. So it feels a lot worse than it probably is, the Rowdies, but feel a lot worse than it is, because it's game after game after game after game, where maybe results aren't ideal because we didn't win them all. But I think we need to step back and realize, A, it's been 12 games. It is our pretty much one of our best starts in modern history, with the most goals, like the highest goal differential in modern history that we've had. It's not that bad. It's not that deep, fam. It's not that deep. Like, maybe the dial should have maybe went from, I don't know, like a 2 to a 3, or maybe a 1 to a 2, but there's no way we should be talking about getting this man out of this club yet.
So you're saying there's been kind of a persistent, you know, amount of negative confifi?
Yes.
About recent results. So I think there's a couple different factors, and this is, I'll go to my opinion, a couple different factors that play into this. Number one, I think there was an expectation among people that we were going to go to USL and Joe Cole was going to be scoring goals with his eyes closed, off his nose, and occasionally, after dribbling them off each butt cheek or something. And we, when this whole move was first mentioned and then later confirmed, I distinctly remember going, us talking about it on air and saying there are some really good teams in this league. Don't expect to walk in and shove some of these guys over. It's not going to happen. And honestly, if we were in a league where we were scoring 4 and 5 goals a game and shutting everybody out, like, that wouldn't be the right place for us to be playing in. Obviously, it's like when you're playing the new edition of FIFA and you all of a sudden you start beating everybody on semi-pro, like, it's time to move up to a different level. So I think there was maybe an unrealistic expectation about the level of play. Number two, I think his seat's been warm ever since two things happened. Number one, MLS at St. Pete was announced. And number two, John Harkes got fired in Cincinnati. Because we haven't really heard anything about him, but the idea that that guy's out there and the success he had last year with a first-year club, and their style of play, I think is kind of in the back of everyone's head. Not just everyone here, but everyone in not even necessarily just lower division soccer, because there's a guy who could maybe get a look at a bottom-of-the-table MLS side or something. So I think the seat's been warm. A couple of things we were talking about, and you're mentioning, you're talking about the possession with a purpose, and I sent you those tweets earlier today, and now I wish I kind of had them right here in front of me. I'm going to pull them up on Twitter real quick. You got them there? Some interesting stats, and I don't think that this in and of itself by itself on its own is indicative of anything, but it's an interesting note. You got them?
Yes, 62% of 113 USL matches this season, excluding draws, has seen the winning team hold less possession. San Antonio FC is 9-0-2 in such matches.
Remember, San Antonio is still undefeated in the league. They lost last night in the Open Cup on PKs. But, we've seen this philosophy. I remember this when Brendan Rodgers went to Liverpool, and he's like, well, we're just going to keep the ball because they don't have the ball, they can't score. Well, it's fine to possess it, but then, like you said, you've got to possess it with a purpose. You've got to create chances, and then you've got to finish them. And that was what we struggled with last year. That's what we struggled with, and we had that real bad run of form under Rongen. It's what we struggled with for seemingly an entire year under Ricky Hill in his last year here, and it's what we're doing now. So I'm not so much bothered by the actual results, but the fact that we're seeing some of the same old mistakes and some of the same old, someone referred to it online yesterday as Rowdy's ball all over again. And it does kind of look like that. Like, we're seeing people, blocking other people's shots on accident. There's just no purpose to the possession right now. Kevin on Twitter threw out there that he needs to be more proactive with the subs. Yeah. I will give him credit with this. I still think he waits too long to throw subs on. He's giving the guys out there a chance to make it right sometimes, maybe. But when he throws subs on, and maybe, part of it is due to we'll be down late or it's a draw late. I don't ever recall him putting, every forward and every midfielder he had out before, like he's done this year a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, he goes for it. I'll give him that.
I mean, Kurt sees someone go for it and try and get the win. But at the same time, I'd rather, let's get the goals earlier. But, and we were talking about this last night at the game at the bar watching it. Like, we saw it last year and the year before, and it's, not necessarily a Stu thing, because it's happened under other coaches. This team plays a lot better for some reason when they're down a goal. Like, it's the reality. Like, can we just start out down a goal at the beginning of every game?
Mentally, just one of the tactical things that we play down the wings and cross. I agree. That's BS. I think our success early on in the season was Joe Cole was playing through balls through the middle to Georgie.
Right.
But I think when we're trying to jam, and this is not any offense, he's got 3 goals in the year too. When you're trying to fit Deshaun Brown into the system, that's the system you're going to play because he's a big target man. And that has been one of my biggest criticisms of Stu, is he wants that large target number 9 to throw the crosses in. Instead of using Georgie and Joe Cole's, their best ability with the throw, reading each other, playing off each other, and the through balls through. And you have the speed of Leo and Darwin and Alex Morel to also, just instead of crosses, keep it on the ground. I've been saying this, I think, since we've been doing the podcast. Stop it, like, with the balls in the air. keep the ball on the ground and we'd have more success. And for some ungodly reason, we've reverted back to, you know, Deshaun Brown is this year's Tommy Heinemann. Stop. Stop.
But by the way, Heinemann scored the late winner in the Open Cup last night. He scored it for them again last week in Heinemann Tavern. It looks to be a pretty good year out there in San Francisco.
But
maybe he's just a turf player. I don't know.
Turf player. Just play, you know, just look, reassess, take a step back now that we have, you know, after Sunday maybe, and take a step, breathe, and reassess. Get a coach's meeting, watch, you know, look at your team. Instead of forcing a style on this team, look at the team you have and let them, you know, dictate the style more. And I think you'd find they would much rather probably play it on the ground and off each other and move a little bit of pass and move. And I think results would happen.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say, and I'll give him, you know, also give him credit for this, you know, he's not going to be one to say, well, look how many games we've played in, you know, the last week or 2 weeks or whatever. But obviously the fatigue has been a factor. The travel has been a factor. You've got the roster, the depth to deal with it. But at the same time, this year we've heard how much, you know, that they've got great chemistry. They've got, you know, the gap between the starters and the substitutes is less than it has been in previous years. But at the same time, we're playing with a roster of 22 guys. Like, maybe you need to have a couple other guys on that roster as possibilities. Especially for a stretch like this. Cundiff, who we mentioned earlier, just chimed in. For him, the 90th minute sub of Savage for Cole, down 2-0 in an Open Cup match. So sometimes the subs don't necessarily make the most sense, other than him just wanting to get Cole off the field and keep him from getting hurt. I don't know. And then you put Savage out there instead, if that's the thinking behind that. I don't know. But for me, I'm not on the fire stew bandwagon yet. One thing I always say is that you never want to make a move unless you've got someone else out there lined up. And everyone, you know, the Hark's name is out there lingering over every team that's not living up to expectations. So there is a name out there. I'm still not sold that this is the right time to make a move.
How could you say this is like, I get wanting his maybe turning up the heat on the stew seat a little bit, making, you know, but there's no way like fire should be a thought right now. Again, we're sitting second in the East, one of our best starts to a season. Yes, there's criticisms to be made, but firing just seems so, so extreme. And you can't deride Bill Edwards for firing a coach in a playoff position back in 2015 and then say, do it to Stu because I don't like the style we're playing.
Right.
Like, you know, because then you want Wild Bill to be Wild Bill, but then you're going to criticize him for being Wild Bill. No, this isn't how it works. Like, and there's no reason to fire him. We are in second place. Like, we have a winning record.
We just need to get back to winning instead of drawing and losing.
Yes. Winning cures all, right?
Yeah.
Like, but still, like, I get the criticism. I'm not saying the criticisms aren't valid. We could have plenty of those talks. I think you need to look at a few numbers and, you know, and now I think, you know, it comes down to the crux of being like the fundamental debate about being a soccer fan. I think we've had it before. Do you prefer results or do you prefer style?
I mean, always results is in my opinion, at least. And then style is secondary. You want to get the win. Like, you know, last night in the Open Cup, I would have been perfectly happy with grinding out a 1-0 or something like that win if we could do that. As much as I hate, you know, park the bus and boring soccer, winning has got to be the first priority. And then how you get there is next. I mean, it's one of those – I'm trying to think of an example of someone we've played with. Well, go back to the Rochester game where they're dropping, you know, almost 10 guys in the box behind us. Like, you hate to play against it, but at the same time, if I'm on the – if the situation was reversed and we were on the road and we had a 1-goal lead late, Yeah, I'd be like, throw everybody back there too.
Okay, but would you rather, and this is a bad example because of the two teams that are involved, but would you rather watch Jose Mourinho Chelsea, or would you rather watch like Jurgen Klopp anywhere?
Oh God, I'd rather watch Jurgen Klopp anywhere over Jose Mourinho anywhere.
But I mean, for example, this season, what was it? What game was that? That was the Charleston Battery game here.
Uh huh.
That game was exciting as all hell.
Yeah.
We lost, but it was one of the most exciting games of soccer I watched. And Right. Then we won the next home game and we were all underwhelmed. We were all like, eh.
Right.
So style, entertainment, or result? I mean,
there's no way to find the perfect balance then, basically.
There could be, but like that's, you know, it's never going to be a perfect balance. But that's my point. Like if you're upset because we're not winning by enough, or you feel like this team is underperforming, that's fine. But we are under for the talent on this roster.
Right.
I will agree. We are underperforming where we should. But I think we all, like you touched on, underestimated USL. We just completely underestimated the talent that is in this league.
Right. Well, and a lot of it was some of that, not necessarily that it's necessarily a talent level, but a lot of these clubs, you look at the Rochesters and the Charlestons and stuff, like they've been operating for 25 years. They've had their systems in place. They have their philosophies. They have, you know, everything else. And yeah, you plug players in and out. And they're not trying to build necessarily these, you know, star-studded rosters like some of the clubs in the league are doing, but they're going out and finding guys who fit for what they're trying to do. And that's exactly what Rochester did. I wouldn't recognize a name on that roster, but they play well together. And, you know, you can watch any league and you want throughout the year and see that sometimes playing well together is better than having guys who play well.
Yeah. Chemistry is a huge portion. I think there are flaws in Stuart Campbell that can be talked about without an extreme knee-jerk reaction. So
you don't throw him in the bay?
No. I mean, he's a club treasure, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that, like, that doesn't mean he's above criticism. That's what we're doing here. But I do think the point that, like, we get 12 flipping games. 12 games. 12 games.
Let me go back to what you just said, though. Stu's a guy who's played here, who's won a championship here, who has kind of come up. Does that make this a harder topic to think about, talk about? If this is a different coach in here with the same thing, if this is an outsider,
no,
is it? Does it make more? Is it more of a possibility in your mind at this point? Then,
no. I mean, okay. We're not losing. Like, we don't have a losing record. Like, that's why. That I don't care who is there, from Alex Ferguson, Brian Clough, anybody. We have a winning record. It's not a thought in my head. Sure, we can sit here and criticize. Whatever you want. We can talk. This style, I agree, playing the wing, playing crosses is boring and bad, and and it doesn't work. We can talk about 90 minutes, like the 90th minute sub, it feels like Ricky Hill all over again. That's fine, I agree. I've said it before. We can talk about man management, how it feels like he doesn't know how to fully handle some of these guys. That's fine. That's all valid. But to say we have a winning record so we should fire him because of these flaws right that we see right now is just asinine thought process. I am not going. Me personally refuse to go down that road until we find out he got fired tomorrow, and I have to eat all of this.
Cundiff just mentioned. I'll never forget Nick Murray. Nick works in communications up in the USL head office, saying last year that we would not find USL a cakewalk and we would struggle at times. Absolutely. Every team is going to struggle at times, regardless of league, regardless of Joe Cole on your roster, Marcel Schaefer coming in here, whatever it is, like everyone's going to go through a bad stretch of performance, and we're in a bit of a funk right now. It seems like, but like you said, we're still there. So throw all that aside, throw everything we talked about just out the window. Luckily, I recorded it all. So, not do you think he should? but then you kind of alluded to something there at the end. You know, what if, you know, and you mentioned Wild Bill in the past. Not do you think he should, but do you think it could happen?
Not anytime soon. I really don't. And I will die on this hill of we have a winning record. And even if he left, unless.
Is that a Shane Hill?
What?
Is that a Shane Hill you're going to die on?
Yes. Yes. Overshooting incredibly. But it's really the hill I'll die on this right now. As my joke, there's no insider knowledge there. I promise. I was just making a joke because every time we talk about something on the show, in 2015, I was laying in bed getting ready to write an article in defense of Thomas Rongen and I woke up to the news that he fired, so I didn't even have to write it. So who knows? Hopefully this isn't a jinx.
Right.
But that's just how our luck goes. I will stand here and I'll come back next week, or if we want to do if it did for some ungodly reason happen tomorrow, that was me knocking on wood. I would die on that hill again. It's just too early in the season and he hasn't deserved, there's nothing I've seen that
right.
makes him deserve to be fired. Like, that's just, we're not there.
I'll say this. This is my personal opinion with no, like you said, no, input from the outside at all. I don't think form or style or results are what would get him fired to a point. You know, if you go and lose, you know, 5, 6, 7 games in a row and all of a sudden we drop out of playoff contention, then, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I think the thing that would change everything would be if you started to see attendances taking a hit. And what we pulled in 6,000 plus last week, second highest attendance of the season. So, yes, to the hardcore fans, the live and breathe soccer fans, there's some things out there that we see that we, you know, want to see corrected, that we want to see improved. But that's you know, unfortunately, the nature of the game in this country. That's a small set of the people coming to the games. Until there's an outcry from everyone, until, you know, maybe the media gets in on this. Not that I want to see it happen, but boy, seeing a newspaper article writing about Stu needing to go would be a sign of how far soccer's come in the Bay Area in the last couple of years. I think that's what would ultimately drive a decision like that at the current time.
Yeah, I could see that.
And if people were, you know, not coming back saying, well, you know, it's boring. It's not fun to watch. Then, especially with a guy like Harks with his reputation for attacking. And I keep mentioning Harks. That's the only guy I can think of who's out there at this point.
That's the only, off the top of my head, that's the same for me. And that would be a great replacement if we got there.
Yallop left Phoenix, but, you know, on the so-called reason of going to spend more time with his family.
Alan Marcino.
Oh, who is it? We heard something about him recently, didn't we?
Yeah, I forgot where he was allegedly might be going. Wasn't it like
somewhere in
Puerto Rico or something?
Oh, yeah. And then that one was debunked or something. Or what? I thought I saw something about Canada, him going back to Canada or something, maybe.
Oh, I hope so. Get out of my country. Build like the wall. Build the wall. Oh, wait. That's the wrong border.
With the Canadian Premier League or something like that?
Yeah. Build the wall. Don't let him come back.
Remind me to tell you something later. I don't want to do it on here because it doesn't really relate to what we're talking about. But you will find it funny. All right, is there anything else we need to cover about this?
No, I think I've said enough things to make people angry.
Yep, rip your mentions. All right, so this weekend, Rowdies play on Sunday afternoon in Charlotte. Mob will have a watch party, I assume, at Engine Rose. The Rowdies will have their club party over at Five Bucks. I'll be out at Shamrock. Actually, no, I won't be. I'm going to be in Fort Myers on Sunday because I'm taking my daughter to camp for the week. So I might be meeting up with our buddy Pork Rind to watch the game in the evening. But get to one of the watch parties, go out, have fun. And look, even when things aren't great, aren't perfect, like, we're still complaining about a game. That's kind of fun to do.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a break from the things we're normally complaining about these days, it seems.
Oh,
like.
Good Lord, don't get me started, please.
But next weekend, we actually have 6 days off between games for once. So next weekend, next Saturday, the only time the Rowdies will play at Al Lang in June will be next Saturday for Pride Night, which I'll be glad to go out there and support.
Did you look at like the standings in our form chart?
No, I don't think so.
Draw Saturday, May 6th against Ottawa. Saturday, May 13th, win Louisville City. Friday, 19 May, win Toronto versus Toronto 2. Mm-hmm. Oh, Wednesday, the 24th, lose Rochester Rhinos. Draw. We've only lost one in the last five, really. Like, don't count the Open Cup. We've lost one in the last five, and yeah. People are still pissed.
Well, and that's where I was getting at with the. It's not necessarily the actual results, but it's just the style and just seeing some of the same.
But
my whole thing with the Rochester game was. You know, there was a crappy call on Damian with the yellow after the VAR. There were guys tired. Joe Cole didn't travel. Chavez has been out injured. I still feel like we should, and we're on the road on turf, and we're basically back in Canada because you're just on the other side of one of the lakes. I still feel like we should be able to grind out a draw in that game.
We probably should have. I'm not saying that. That's not my point. My point is people are talking about firing the manager when you've lost one in the last five.
Well, let's not make it two in the last six on Sunday. How about that?
Yes. I mean, yeah. Like moving forward, I'm not saying you can't turn the temperature up. Yeah. I'm saying having it at boil right now is just absurd.
One thing, I almost forgot about this, but I've seen it mentioned a few times in games in the past, but last night it kind of got to me probably like 8-10 guys went down to Miami last night for the game. I know Sudol went, a couple guys from Sarasota went. They met up at Shamrock and left from there. And that's like a 4-hour trip. I saw Cundiff's post this morning about getting back at like 4 in the morning. And, you know, I know it's a pain in the butt. You've lost a game. You feel crappy. You feel you're probably tired because you played, you know, 75 games in 4 days. But for, you know, like Stu and like, you know, 4 or 5 players to come over and acknowledge that the guys who traveled to support them in this game, they can do better with that.
Yeah, I think the team should have been over there. But, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. I think if they felt they let people down and they're frustrated or whatever, go ahead, blow off. And come out, but I mean, home games, you can't get too mad when at home games they're always right there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I don't go to the game, you know, in order to be recognized for being there. I go there because I want to, but I think that's something that they, especially for a game like a midweek game, traveling down to Miami for that. Because I remember we went to that game, the Fort Lauderdale one, which turned out to be a loss too. Like, almost the entire team, I want to say, probably came over and you know, thanked us for coming and took a few minutes to talk with the fans and everything. So,
yeah,
that's just, I mean, that's the thing you got to do. So, we'll see. But
I'll give you that.
That would, if I had to throw in another ugly for the game, something I could think off the top of my head, that would be that for last night. But other than that, I think we're about done. You were right. We did manage to drag that last part out for our typical hour.
I've been simmering on this like for the 24 hours. I knew it was going to go.
Oh, yeah. Same here. When I started seeing something pop up, and it's, you know, it's gotten to a point where it's something that needs to be addressed. And if we're that outlet, which... Man, I feel bad that we're the outlet for any of this stuff to have to go through, but here we are. Because we are. We kind of style ourselves as the voice of fans because that's what we are. I mean,
we're fans, and we have voices, and maybe
pretty bad ones, but we've got voices. So our we love yous. I'm gonna send them out to the fans that made the trip last night. Cundiff, Sudol, Connell, Pendleton, Fox was there. Carl Z was there, I believe.
Yeah, screw that guy. No. Carl never gets a we love you on this show. Carl, no. I put my foot down there. Anybody else? You could say Kim Jong-un. Fine. Not Carl.
I love you, Carl. Even if Dan doesn't.
Screw that guy.
But kudos for going down there and making the trip. And so there was a group of people with the mob, and then there was they're doing, camera shots of, the crowd. There was one guy in a Rowdy's jersey just sitting with a bunch of Miami people. So I don't know who that was, but I'm going to guess it's someone maybe who lives locally down there and has friends or something, and went to the game. But, it was cool to have a away support, on a Wednesday night in the Open Cup. Like we said, we don't get paid for this, but we do have some people who are nice enough to support us and give us some donations from time to time, either through our Patreon account, which you can get to at patreon.com/theunusedsubspod. You can also help support us while watching streaming soccer legally from around the world on Fubo. You can go to our website, theunsubs.com, click the ad up at the top and get signed up if you'd like it. That was my excuse last weekend on, I think Saturday morning, I woke up and, watched the championship playoff final with, Huddersfield and, Reading, via Fubo on my TV, and use that as a reason not to get out of bed. And, it was one of those games where it almost put me back to sleep before it went to the PK shootout. Anyway, give us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever it is we're on these days. Thanks to our friends again at Wolfface for the theme music, Radio St. Pete for giving us an outlet to throw our words out there into the internets, our good friends down at Shamrock, our good friends at Big Storm, and not that these are new good friends, but we finally have a scarf. We've mentioned a couple times. We've got a couple pre-orders already. Need a few more before we can get the order underway. So facebook.com/unusedsubspod/shop/store, one of those. It's the only thing in there right now. You can get it pre-ordered, and when we get them, we'll get them to you. We gave one away. Oh, that's the other thing we didn't mention. People follow us on the internet like crazy, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We 1,000
plus followers. I think last time I looked a couple days ago, it was just under 1,020 or something like that. All of you, seek mental help now, please. Do not have children at this point in time, if at all possible. It's just going to be bad for everyone. But we appreciate it, and we thank you, even though you're crazy. I think that's it. Anything else? Any last words?
No, let's kick this pig.
Ooh, now I want some bacon.
Me too.
Carmen's pig?
Oh, what? Yeah. Goodbye.
We'll be back next Wednesday. Now there's only two Wednesday games left in the season, and they're both later on. We'll be back to our regular schedule. Another reason I don't mind us being out of Open Cup. It's inconvenient towards my podcasting pursuits. So thank you for, I'm sure they did that just for us. We'll be back next Wednesday talking about just one game this time. Just one game happens between now and next show, which is fantastic. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Unused Substitutes, and we'll see you later.
Bye.
The Rangers were here, the Rangers were there.